Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another edition of the Make It Great Show.
I am great, not because someone told me, but because I believe. I believe in my ability to achieve the impossible. I am strong beyond measure. I am smart without a doubt. High I will aim. Shout loudly I proclaim that I am great. I am great. From my inner core, deeply I believe that no obstacle is too large, too much to overcome. I am a conqueror. Opposition I will slay. For this is the day I say that I am great.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Make It Great Show with your host, Phenicia Hubbard. This is the Uplift Connection, where you hear inspirational stories from uplifting women who are choosing to make it great in their lives. For a listing of upcoming guests and topics, visit us online at phenicia.com.
All right. Happy Sunday. It is the Sunday after Thanksgiving. We are back and we are live on the air. If you joined us last week, you heard a rebroadcast of our interview with Beverly Rogers. And we want to thank you for joining us this Sunday. We've got an exciting interview scheduled with Miss Candace Cole herself. I am Phenicia Hubbard, and I am here today with my co-host, my sister friend, Beverly Rogers, Candace Cole. We are excited that you're here with us on the Make It Great Show. You can call in and listen live or simply ask us a question at 347-327-9281. You can also join us online at blogtalkradio.com/makeitgreat, and that will be an opportunity for you to chat with us. So I'm going to turn the floor over to my sister friends so that they can introduce themselves. Beth, how are you today? What's going on?
I am doing well today. I will tell you, I'm always good when the sun shines. It can, you know, in the Midwest it gets super, super cold. But it can be super, super cold, 100 degrees below zero. But if the sun is shining, then I'm shining. So I'm doing well and had a great holiday, did not overeat, did not have an extra 5 pounds I have to lose, and had a great sit down at a kitchen table, you know, the From Mama's House feeling with a cup of tea with girlfriends for special uplifting after the holidays. It was a good weekend. It's good. All's good.
I heard that. All right. Candace, how are you today?
I am really well, similar to Beverly. I had just a really, really relaxing Thanksgiving, a really fulfilling Thanksgiving. So like I said, I wasn't overeating, ate just enough, but just lots of love and lots of rest. So I am rested and really glad to be here tonight.
Awesome. And I know Thanksgiving is definitely a time for gratitude. I'm grateful for so many things. Like Beth said, sun is shining, life is good. Good health, good people, good friends, good family. What are some things that you are really grateful for?
I am grateful to just have the strength to do the things that I need to do on a day-to-day basis. I am grateful. At this age, I'm, you know, every day above the grass is absolutely fantastic. So I am thankful for being able to say I'm thankful.
I love that, Bev, and I love how you said at this age, because, I mean, do you mind sharing your age on the air?
I am, well, I'm past 70 and a half. January is coming very quickly, and I'll be 71 in January.
I know that's right, and there's nothing 70 about you. Nothing.
Not at all. 70 years young.
Well, you know,
exactly.
People ask me, you know, how does it feel to be 70? I have not a clue because I've not been 70 before. So I'm not sure I have a preconceived notion of what 70 was supposed to look like or feel like or be like. So I just continue doing the best I can, being the best I can, and moving forward.
I love that. Great philosophy. That's what keeps you so youthful. Candace, what are you grateful for?
You know, as the temperatures plunged here in Chicago right after Thanksgiving, I became really, really just aware of how grateful I am for my home. Sometimes life can get so hectic and we're not in the house as much. But when it was 20 degrees outside, I was very grateful for my home and my bed and for heat and running water and electricity. So I've just become, this week, just become really, really aware of those just necessities that I realize aren't necessities for everybody, and just making sure to continue to be grateful for those things that I sometimes can take for granted in my life.
Hmm. And I know that, yeah, when you take those things for granted, what we kind of do is shut the door to abundance. And I'll never forget where I read one day that gratitude opens the door for prosperity and abundance. So it's like the more grateful you are, the more you're saying, yes, I appreciate this. Give me more of it. It's awesome, Candace.
Exactly.
Hey, Bev, if you don't mind, I want to tell everybody about the epiphany you had recently. The three of us had a chance to get together. Was it yesterday? Yesterday.
It was yesterday.
We got together. Yeah, just yesterday. And, Bev, you were talking about The Matrix and that movie. What was that all about?
You know, well, first of all, it started out that I was just awake at very early in the morning, and I wanted something to keep me company. So I turned on a movie I DVR'd some time ago, and it was The Matrix, one of my very favorite movies, all three of them. And there were so many life lessons in there. I mean, so many positive things that I realized that all of us need a Morpheus in our life. I think that's one of the takeaways after we left. One of the takeaways is having a Morpheus, someone who always has something positive to say to counteract the negative feelings and thoughts of I can't do it, or this is too hard, or this couldn't possibly mean me, or why me. Morpheus would come up with something that was absolutely fascinating to not preach, just a really quick one-liner like, I can show you the door, but you have to walk through it. That's simple. I can show you the door, but you need to walk through it. That is just so simple. It's not preaching to you, but it's just saying, this is what I am doing, and the rest is up to you. I'm not making you codependent. You know, this is your life. If you see what you want to see and you do what you want to do, then here it is, and I will support you as you go through it. I absolutely love it. I mean, you could watch that movie two or three different times and get a different epiphany.
Definitely. And you know how you said everybody needs a Morpheus? I truly believe that you are a Morpheus. You're Morpheus in my life. And I remember in the movie when Morpheus was close to death, and one of his people on his ship said to him, you know what, Morpheus, you've always been more than just a leader to us. You've been like a father. And Bev, I know you love to be mama for Mama Talk, so you are a Morpheus. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you.
And y'all are both my Morpheuses. Just let me just chime in.
I love it. Thanks, Candace. Well, I am excited about the interview that we're doing today, ladies. Are you all excited?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. We are going to.
I'm especially excited because it is for Candace. So, Candace, I'm going to be as gentle as I can with my question. Because, you know, I will have some questions. They will just kind of pop in there. So I'm going to be as gentle as I can. And I give you permission to say, Beverly, I need to pass on that one.
Okay.
Okay. If it's one of those that you really don't feel that it should be shared, you know, like right now. And you know how a lot of times family members will ask you a question and it's in front of all the other family members and you take this big gulp. And you would answer if it was private, but you don't want to answer in front of everybody because there are some pieces that you need to form the right words to articulate it so it sounds better.
Right.
So I want you to know that if I come up with a question that you know you need to just let simmer a little while, just say that you will pass on that one.
Okay. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I love that, Bev, and you have just reminded me to remind everyone that's listening that this show that we do here is totally unscripted, unedited, and uncut. So when Bev said, you know, the question, or she might change it, or, you know, we don't know the questions we're going to ask Candace. We are just going into this, and we're excited about the interview. If it's okay with you all, I'm going to go ahead and introduce Candace, because I want people listening to know who this woman is. And then we're going to get into the interview. Candace Cole. Some of you might know her as Candace Washington, which is her maiden name. And her married name is Candace Cole. Candace graduated from the University of Chicago. She studied psychology, and she also got a master's in teaching. And from that, she went on to teach in elementary. She taught in Sacramento on the West Coast, and she taught here in Chicago. After her teaching career, she stayed with the University of Chicago, her alma mater, and she did some consulting with them in the Urban Teacher Education Program. And then she also co-taught a course in that same program, and it was on like race and gender and class and culture. So in addition to that whole teaching piece, Candace has also been involved in her sorority. She's a member of Sigma Gamma Rho Sorority Incorporated. We're sorors. I won't eat it over the radio, but, you know.
I was about to. I almost did, though. Sorry.
And within the sorority, she has held leadership positions. She is a soror that people definitely look up to. Candace has published e-books, and I'm going to tell you all the titles of three of them that she's published. The Unexpected Revolutionary Manifesto, You Are Epic, and then the third one is Letters to Your Father. Amazing works, all three of them. So if you don't have those books, make sure you connect with Candace after the show and find out how you can get your copies. Now, the whole teaching piece and the speaking piece evolved over time. And just within, I think it was last year, I'm going to tell you all some of the things that Candace did out on the speaking scene. She kicked off the year at her alma mater, University of Chicago, and she was a panelist for their Martin Luther King Symposium. And she spoke about black educators educating black children. So that just kind of shows how her passion for teaching has just evolved and manifested, and that she really wants to continue helping people learn how to be authentic in their work with teaching. She spoke with her sorority a couple of times during that year. She talked about avoiding crisis. She talked about people having digital awareness and decluttering with that. She then went on to speak at the City Colleges. She did a session for some faculty and staff there about digital awareness and leadership, and so how they can impact their students using technology. Just amazing stuff. After she published her e-book, she went on to talk about those. She did a teleclass called Unearthing Your Genius by Telling Your Story. And then she did some work with Uplifting Her, where she facilitated small group sessions for women about storytelling. And I can honestly tell you, in those sessions, you know, women were really opening up. Some tears were shed because it was really like an epiphany, like, wow, I've never had this space to just open up and discover the side of myself. One thing that I want to share about Candace is that she's always loved to talk. So if you know her, you probably know that that's true. And ever since she was a little girl, people always came to her for advice. Now, we have the Make It Great show, but let me tell you, Candace started this a long time ago. She had her own show at the age of 12, and it was called The Candace Show. So here she was, 12-year-old Candace, at recess, having The Candace Show. And she had a theme song. She had guests. And these were all her classmates. You know, they kind of looked up to her because she was the one that people went to for advice. And throughout high school, she continued always helping people. Like, she was the go-to person. Now, I want to fast forward past high school, past college, get into the decade we're in, or the early 2000s. So it started around 2011 where Candace said, all right, there's a shift going on in my life. And rather than always helping people tell their story, she started to tell her own story. It started with her revealing to her parents that she had been married for 2 years. She had kept it a secret, and I'm sure we'll talk about that in the interview. But she kept it as a secret, and then she revealed it to her parents. And then shortly after that, she resigned from teaching. And then, shortly after that, I can't forget this one, Candace was on Oprah. Hello. She was on Oprah, and she told her story about how she had kept her marriage a secret. So ever since that started, this whole talking about herself, she's been on a mission to sort of practice vulnerability and really get to the heart of the matter of things and being vulnerable and taking the risk to talk about herself, because that helps to heal others. One thing that Candace said before is that talking is like a trifecta about not only helping others, but also connecting and sharing. And so the more she shares her stories, the more she connects with people, and the more comfortable they feel with sharing theirs. So this talking journey that she's been on like her whole life has evolved in a way to help her uncover her purpose. Now, I had the pleasure of meeting Candace in 2008. We met over a table. Who knew? I had no idea who she was. I don't even know how we connected on Facebook, but here my sister was moving across the world to Ghana, and Candace was moving from the West Coast back to Chicago. And somehow she found me, or I found her on Facebook, because my sister was selling her furniture. Because she was leaving the country, and Candace was moving back home and needed furniture. And we met over a table. And in those 4 years, I've come to learn that Candace is very authentic. She's very passionate. She's very genuine. She's someone who drinks Kool-Aid out of wine glasses. And she always wants to be remembered for smiling her way into people's hearts and for being an intuitive cheerleader, for living life on her terms, and for being unexpectedly great. And that is Candace Cole. Let's get ready to talk to her. Candace, welcome to the Make It Great Show.
I am so glad to be here. It's so interesting listening to that. You pieced all that stuff together. I was like, oh, I did do that. thank you for kind of bringing that back to my memory a bit.
Yeah, you've had quite a journey, Candace, definitely. And one thing I want to start out with is your unexpected revolutionary journey, because I think that's kind of where things started to kick off. It was 2009, and tell us what was happening in your life around that time.
So in 2009, I was still teaching. I had started teaching at a new school, and I found that I was still feeling really unfulfilled. And so up until this point, I had thought that the unfulfillment was because I hadn't found the right school to teach at. So I was like, you know, this is the perfect school, perfect, you know, principal and staff, and I love the mission of the school. And I still had this kind of ache inside of me that really wouldn't go away. And so I just started writing and journaling because I didn't really know what to make of it. I just knew that there was a part of me that was, something in me that was trying to get out, something in me that wanted to feel more fulfilled. And so I just started writing, and it started with a poem that I wrote in my journal, because I just felt like I wasn't fully living my purpose. Like, I felt like I wasn't fully expressing, you know, all of this stuff, all this great stuff that was inside of me. So that was kind of where it all began, that journey of the unexpected revolutionary, and, you know, that's where I was in 2009.
And I know you started that poem. The first line was, I am an unexpected revolutionary dedicated to progression. So as you look back over the years, what has that progression been like for you?
I think, you know, the progression has meant a few things for me. I'm a really ambitious person. So in many ways, progression was about, you know, hit a goal, move on to the next goal, set a really lofty goal, hit that goal, move to the next goal. But when I wrote this line, the word progression had a very different angle to it, and it wasn't just about hitting a goal for the sake of hitting the goal. And what I started to feel just from that line, I'm an unexpected revolutionary dedicated to progression, was that it was more so about how I was progressing in really living my purpose and really showing people who I was, which is why the term unexpected revolutionary resonated with me, because I think up until that point I had did everything by the book, you know, went to college, got good grades, it was just a very cookie cutter. I was just doing what people wanted me to do, pleasing people, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it was just a very kind of, you know, step-by-step, very safe for me. And so I realized that inside I had these ideas swirling and I wanted to express something, and I was revolutionary, even if at the first look people didn't think that about me. So that's kind of where that came from. It kind of started to help me start to redefine progression and what progress really meant, that progress wasn't just about hitting these, I would say, milestones that society expects you to hit, but actually hitting milestones in yourself, like your personal milestones, like expressing yourself and finding your purpose and living your purpose and connecting with other people who appreciate your purpose, like those kind of milestones. I was starting to learn that that's what progression meant, at least for me.
Is journaling your main outlet for your reflection, your reflective mode, or do you do meditation or yoga? Or because I hear you talking about journaling, and I know you do a lot of internalizing, and I was just wondering, what is your first outlet? What's the first thing you do when you think, I need to get back to me?
Beverly, I love that question. So I'm gonna be just gonna be honest. My first mode is talking. I'm just gonna put it out there. I talk to myself, like I preach to myself. It turns into journaling, but it always starts with this kind of internal dialogue just in my mind. That usually happens when I'm really relaxed, like if I'm taking a shower or sitting in the park or right before I wake up, just letting a thought simmer, and then it ends up in my it ends up in my journal. I'll be very quite honest with you, I don't do yoga. I've done meditation here and there. I think I'm also learning to redefine what meditation looks like, because I do sit and think. But it really mostly is just me, you know. One of my favorite things to do is just to declutter and organize, and when I'm organizing, I just let thoughts just sit in me and just let them kind of work their way out, and then I write about it. As of recent, though, I've been recording myself, so getting a little voice recorder on my cell phone or on the computer, and I just kind of do a stream of consciousness just in the same way I would journal with writing, because sometimes with writing, I miss, you know, it's so many thoughts, my hand can't move fast enough. So I kind of do audio journaling, I will probably call it that, as opposed to just journaling in a notebook and writing it out.
That's fantastic. It just reminded me, that's one of the things that I would probably love to do. I bought Dragon last year, and I have yet to use it. So we're not interviewing me today, Phoenicia. We're interviewing Candace. So I hear your mind working in the background. We're going to leave that and go back. But I absolutely do love the idea that you're recording your thoughts. I had never thought of that. That's fantastic.
I hope you do that. I hope you open up Dragon, and I think it'll be a really awesome experience.
Candace, as you go through this journey of discovering, you know, what thoughts are telling you, what's inside of you that needs to be uncovered, tell us about how that relates to the revolutions that have happened in your life so far.
Ooh. You know, I've come to realize, this has been of recent, that the revolution that I'm embarking upon, that I'm currently in, is this journey and this realization to just be myself. And what I mean by just be myself, because that term gets thrown around so much, is to really just fully express myself naturally. Like the part of me that it's almost like it just kind of comes out of me. So that's been the revolution of kind of letting go of things that don't serve me, that weren't necessarily bad things, but maybe things that I really actually deep down didn't enjoy, or things that really deep down didn't fulfill me. So this revolution has really been about me standing tall in who I am and my uniqueness, but then also kind of owning my voice, not kind of, actually really owning my voice, even if that voice isn't necessarily loud and brash, but just owning that this is who I am. I think also, too, a lot of it has been one quote that I kind of live by. It's a Chinese proverb, and it says, you know, tension is who you think you should be, and relaxation is who you are. So my revolution has been about relaxing into myself and realizing that there's nothing that I need to try to become or anything that I have to try to add to myself. It's just simply leaning into what's already there, like leaning into my natural self and letting that expand, as opposed to thinking I have to go outside of myself and perfect myself. That's been the biggest revolution of all, is learning how to relax physically, mentally, spiritually. I mean, just learning to just relax and be easy with who I am and not add anything because I think that it's not interesting enough or good enough or cool enough. That's probably been the biggest revolution of all, is just relaxing and knowing that I'm enough as I am.
Do you work at that at a regular basis, or do you find that it comes easy?
Oh, no, it does not come easy. Let me be clear. I want to be clear to everybody, because this is one thing that when I'm talking to people, I struggle sometimes conveying this to them, that it's work. It's like a full-time job, you know, because when people see me, you know, they see me after the processing and after the internalizing and after the conversations with friends and, you know, after talking to Bev and Phoenicia, because I'm like, I don't know what to do. You know, they people see me after that. And no, it's not even just a daily process. It's a every hour process. I think that there are moments when it's easier because the thoughts, you know, have calmed down. Those thoughts that make you believe that you're not enough, you know, the negative beliefs and the limiting beliefs that come up. But there are other days where it's an onslaught, and it feels like a battle. I was like, you know what? No, I know that I'm enough. I know that I can relax. And when the tension is actually physically, I can feel it, and I have to really work at it. So no, it doesn't come easy. I think I now have more strategies to deal with it, so it can leave more quickly when thoughts and things come. But no, it's still work. But it's the work that I really want to do and, you know, keep going. So no, It's a day-to-day process of just getting up and being present and having to go at it.
Candace, you have an e-book, and in my introduction of you, I mentioned three books, and I apologize for missing the fourth, which is Breathe, Repeat, Relax. And Breathe, Repeat, Relax was a text that you wrote to really help someone learn how to relax. And a line from that book, you said, you cannot grow if you do not relax. You cannot make progress if you won't relax. And I think normally when we think about relaxation, and for those of you that are listening, there's this image that comes in our mind, or there's something that we associate with relaxing. But I recall from your text that you had a different way of thinking about relaxing. You encourage people to redefine what relaxation meant. So could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so, you know, I think the prevailing kind of image in society is that relaxing is, you know, going to the spa and, you know, putting your feet up and being in a nice plush robe, which are all wonderful things, which are all great ways to relax. But what I came to found was that there are different levels of relaxation. And so a lot of times there's, you know, this first level of relaxation where we physically have to relax ourselves. So things like taking a bath and going to sleep and going to the spa and having me time. But then I realized that underneath that is a deeper level of relaxation, and a relaxation that's not just about your physical body, but about your actual, I would say, like your inner self. It's that part of you where you, quote, you know, when people say I'm letting my hair down, I have people where I can let my hair down with. I just feel totally like myself. I feel like those are relaxed states. So I realized that that's what relaxation was really about, was getting back to this spot where you didn't feel like you were forcing anything or trying. You were just being. In the same way that, you know, a baby is just being, you know, or you look at it in nature, nature's just doing its thing. No, it's no tension. So that's when I started to write that ebook. That's the message that I was trying to convey to people, that a lot of times we start at the surface level, searching with relaxing, and which are all great things to start, but what I think we're really longing for is this space to be ourselves, because that's when you, all of you feels relaxed. You know, there's no tension because you're trying to be one way with this person, another way with this person. And just in talking to people, I realized that for a lot of people, even going to the spa or something like that didn't even make them feel relaxed, because what they really desired was this space where they could just totally be free. And so I began to see that relaxation really equated with freedom and spaciousness in their life, and more so freedom internally, this, you know, feeling free and expansive inside of themselves and not fragmented and, you know, tied up, and just feeling like they could express themselves. How they wanted to express themselves in the world became the definition of relaxation and relaxing.
I know this is a sister girl question, but I'm just interested in your perspective, Candace, on what do you think is the cost of being free? It seems that a lot of us are not our authentic selves because there's a price to pay. What do you think that price is for many of us?
It's funny. The first thing I thought of when you asked that, I said, "Well, what's the cost of not being free?" Because I think that that's what I have to start asking myself. Because I know that the cost of being free, in many cases, at least in my case, meant not necessarily ridicule, but it meant distancing myself from people. It also meant people having a different opinion about me, which could affect me socially. It really meant more, it really cost me more in how other people saw me and looked at me, as opposed to a cost that it had for me, for myself, which is hard. When I finally decided to tell my parents that, you know, I kind of got married in a non-traditional way, it was very difficult because I came from a very traditional household. So I always felt like there was a huge cost to, you know, kind of defying things and starting my own traditions. I think there is a cost, a huge cost associated with being free, but I think that there is a huger cost in not being free, and I think we see that. In people being unhappy, in people being unfulfilled, and it causing stress and us getting sick. So the way that I like to think about that question is, what has been the cost of me not being free, and do I want to keep paying that cost? Because in my example, I was paying a much higher price to not be free than I was to start to learn to express myself to the world. And just to myself, just to be free, just, you know, just freely express who I am.
In embracing that freedom, I'm wondering if you can share with us some things that you chose to release, as well as some things that you might think that you have lost in that journey to be free.
You know what's interesting is that I ended up not losing nearly as much as I thought. So thinking back, just going back to that question about what did it cost, I think a lot of times it was a perceived cost. So what I gained from starting this journey was actually a lot more acceptance than I thought from some of the people in, you know, situations that I thought I wasn't going to get it from. I also just gained a sense of confidence. I gained a lot more confidence, and not a brash, in-your-face confidence, but a very just, like, natural, like, this is who I am, and I'm okay with that, and I don't have to explain it, or I don't have to even overcompensate. I can just be that. But it did cost me certain relationships, and when I say certain relationships, it wasn't necessarily that the relationships, it was like I made a phone call and said, I can never talk to you again. What happened is that a few relationships just naturally, they didn't fully end, but we just kind of naturally grew more distant because I was moving in one direction and they were moving in another. So it wasn't this tough, like we have to sit down and talk. There was one or two situations where that had to happen, where I had to actually have a talk. But I gained so many more people who understood me, who, when I said something, they were like, oh, my goodness, I connect with that. So it totally made the distancing from other relationships not even seem as bad, because I was now filling up my relationship queue now with these really fulfilling and satisfying relationships. But that was the biggest thing, I think, is the how people were perceiving me. And I totally realized that I totally overdid how I thought people were going to react. Like when I told my parents that we had been married for 2 years, my mind had, and I said this to Oprah, like it had said, like, your parents are going to disown you, they're going to yell at you, they're going to hang up the phone on you. The first thing my parents said was, like, congratulations. Oh, my gosh, we need to get you a wedding gift. And I was just, like, in awe because I had made up some huge reaction that they were going to have, and it totally wasn't even – it didn't even ring true in the situation. So that's what I kind of learned, too, is that I had perceived what the cost would be, but then the actual costs weren't nearly as devastating as what I had come up with in my mind.
What is the one thing about – your whole realization of who you are now, when you meet someone, what is the one thing you want them to know about you or to remember about you? I'm going to tell you one of the things that always reminds me of Candace and is attached to the Candace name is Candace with a K. That's number one. And Candace with the gorgeous, gorgeous dreads, that's number two. I love the way you have your twists, and they're growing. I love that. And you have the most beautiful smile, the dimply smile, and the little twinkle in your eye. So that is what I associate with the Candace, but I'm sure there are things that you really want other people to see and to know about you. What would be that one thing?
Mm-hmm. When you just said that about the smile, the one thing that I just want to convey to people is that being yourself and being expressive and being kind of a rebel in a sense, it can be gentle and joyful and happy, because I think that's when the unexpected revolutionary came up for me, was that when people see me, just like you said, that I'm very bubbly, I'm very sparkly, but at the same time, I'm also, you know, I'm creating the life that I want, and I'm a rule breaker in many sense of the word, but I don't think that rebel and rule breaking and authenticity has to be so harsh. And so I think that what I really want people to know is that, you know, being yourself and expressing yourself and being, you can do that and be vulnerable at the same time. And it comes in all shapes and sizes and forms and ways. But I think that's what I would want to convey to people, that, you know, the self-expression, it can be this really joyful, happy, sparkly journey. It doesn't have to be harsh and hard and difficult all the time. You have those moments, but you can come out of it smiling. because expressing yourself should be a happy thing. You know, and, and even the being deep and the internalizing, like, you can come up out of all that internalizing and still be smiling, because it should be a joyful thing to finally internalize and figure yourself out. Like, that's what I want people to know. Like, this smile that you see is genuine because I'm doing all this work, and this is the result of all this work that I'm doing in myself.
Okay.
Candace, would you tell us about how that relates to the work that you're doing in general? Because we've been talking quite a bit about the work you're doing on yourself, and I think that is directly correlated to the work that you do. So tell us about your profession, your vocation, and the work you do.
Okay, so as of recent, I have just really fully owned what I do, and I've been redefining it. So I'm actually glad that you asked this, Phoenicia. So I'm a songwriter. I'm also a writer, so I write on my blog, I write books, but I also write songs. And I write songs for creative entrepreneurs to use to represent their brand. But the entrepreneurs who I write songs for are people who are having these same exact conversations, who are actually coaching and helping people and empowering people to be themselves, to be authentic, to be vulnerable as a part of their business. So these are life coaches and writers and you know, speakers. So these songs and the songs that I'm writing, like, they directly mirror all of this work that I've been doing. So it's actually it's really amazing that they can come together, because I feel like that's when you can really relax, when things are aligned. And all the songs that I write, you all referenced before about I like to get to the heart of the matter. That's what the songs are all about. And so it's really mirroring these human emotions that we all have and get into the core of those emotions through songs, so that, you know, these entrepreneurs who are actually having these conversations and engaging people in this work have a song that really represents their brand. One of the songs that I wrote is called Honor the Whisper of Your Heart. And it, for me, it always starts with this whisper of, you know, I'm feeling unfulfilled, or something isn't right, or I really enjoyed that. I need to explore that. And so that just mirrors what I do in my life, as well with the other songs that I've written. So it's been a really cool way just to see how things are aligning, because all of this work that all this internal work that I'm doing is now, I'm now expressing it through song, and it's beautiful to see how it unfolds so differently in song, but it still maintains the same message and feeling about just being yourself, just relaxing and just being who you are and following your heart and trusting your intuition and be going on that journey.
How would someone go about getting a song? Because I love how you can take a song and help someone to not only express themselves, to tell their story, and to also capture the essence of who they are. How does someone go about getting that song?
So how it all begins is that you go on, I have it set up on my website where people saw the survey, and I just kind of ask just a few questions just to kind of feel out what they're looking for, what they're looking to use the song for. And then after that, everything hinges on what I call the inspiration consultation. So this is a 30-minute phone call where I just listen to this person's story, how they came to become an entrepreneur, kind of similar to how you all are interviewing me, how this started way before it became a business. I ask them about the message of their business, what they would want to yell. One of my questions is, you know, if you were on the highest mountaintop, on the highest mountain, like, what would you want people to know, like, about themselves? Like, what would be the message that, like, you would just scream and yell? And so I ask that question. I ask them about the colors that they like and the kind of music. And then I also do research. I look through their site. I read their blog. I look at any videos that they have. And so I use all of this and kind of stir it in a pot. And then come up with a song that they listen to the draft, and then we kind of make some tweaks, and they have the song. But a lot of it just hinges on us just talking, me listening to their story. So in the same way that a person hires a copywriter, you tell the copywriter your story, and then the copywriter puts it all together, and they don't veer from your message. They just make the words real pretty, and it's still your voice. I do the same thing just with the song. I take all of who this person is and then distill it into a song that is just who they are. Just not in their business, but also who they are personally, because I think so much of who they are is infused in their business as well.
I'm going to ask a question. You may pass on it.
Okay.
But your passion is teaching. That's where we started, with mm-hmm. your passion in teaching. How did you transition from your passion of teaching to writing songs?
Oh, that's a good question that I am willing to answer. Music has always been a passion in my life. And so what started to happen, though, so I started playing the flute when I was in fifth grade. I sang in choir in high school. My first job, I convinced my parents to let me work at an amphitheater, an outdoor amphitheater, which meant, like, late pickups and traffic. But I was like, I have to be around music. And so what happened, though, when I went to college is that music became a not-so-realistic career, according to, you know, my family, according to people in college. And so that passion, it was always there, but I kind of put it on the back burner and let it simmer a little bit. So music has always been a passion along with teaching. It's just been one that I put on the back burner because I didn't think that it was a viable career. I didn't think that I could actually do anything with it, but it always comes back. Even as a teacher, I infuse music in the arts in so much of what I did with my students and my lesson planning. So it was always kind of that go-to thing and that go-to passion that I tried to bring up. But what I find fascinating, though, is that teaching, even though I'm not formally teaching, in, you know, at least in the classroom, when I'm writing and writing the e-books and writing these songs, through the songs, I'm actually teaching people to express themselves and to be free. So in a way, it's almost as if I'm still doing it. I'm just kind of redefining teaching. And I actually created a course called Teaching Redefined. So I think you asking me that, now I realize, like, I'm still teaching. It's just in a very different format. And writing songs is the format.
Good answer. Really good answer. Because basically, if you are a teacher, if you are intrinsically a teacher, you will always be a teacher.
Yes,
if teaching is your purpose, you will be a teacher. And the question will be, in what environment will you be teaching? On what
yes.
assignment will you teach? Who will you be teaching and what will you be teaching? But you are intrinsically, your purpose is teaching.
Yes, it's always there. You can't let that go. It's who you are.
Candace, during your teaching journey, one of your second graders said to you, I said, Ms. Washington, be more than just a teacher. Be a rock star. Tell us what that means to you and how you've been a rock star since that second grader said that
oh,
to you.
Oh, my gosh. I have that on my vision board. I keep it on my vision board. It brings me to tears every single time. So the student who wrote this, he gave me this note, and this was before I had shared with my students that, like, Miss Washington writes songs and Miss Washington writes books. Like, this is a really quiet student, and I realized that if I stay here teaching in this environment that I know is not fulfilling for me, that I'm actually doing a disservice to my students, because I was telling them, like, follow your dreams, and Miss Washington believes that you can do whatever you want. And if you want to be an astronaut and if you want to be an entrepreneur, you can do it. But, like, if Miss Washington isn't doing it, you know, I felt like I almost had to become a rock star for to kind of, you know, to champion this cause. So I think that how I've become a rock star, and I think I've done my students proud so far. So I did decide to leave teaching in the classroom. And I could, like Beverly said, once a teacher, you're always a teacher. I didn't leave teaching forever. Like, I didn't leave teaching, but I left teaching in the classroom. I started writing more. So I published those e-books, even if they weren't perfect. I said, you know what, this is what's on my heart. I want to publish them. I started taking business courses so that I could build a business around my passions and my gifts. And I started speaking. I did not like, and I think I told you all this just yesterday, I was always a behind-the-scenes kind of girl. And or with the big group, and I did not like speaking. And between 2011 and now, I have spoken frequently in front of groups of people, which is definitely like a rock star thing for me. And also sharing what I do with my family and sharing what I do just with friends, not being ashamed of, like, the work that I'm doing. I think that that's how I've kept that rock star fire lit. It's funny because I live across the street from the school. I see these kids because they're at recess all the time, and every time they see me walking, they're like, "Miss Washington, are you finished with that book? Miss Washington, I listened to your song on YouTube," and it because I gave them my YouTube address, and they were like, "Miss Washington, you know, my mom really likes that song that you have." It keeps me inspired every single day. Like, they want me to be the rock star. Even when those days when I don't want to. So every day I write a new song. Every day I decide to say yes to a speaking engagement, or I decide to write some more words for a book or talk on a radio show and get interviewed. You know, I'm being that rock star that my kids have envisioned for me before I could even envision it for myself. So that's I'm on that rock star journey thanks to those second graders.
You are definitely a rock star. You are shining. And the work you're doing is totally commendable. Your journey has been one that I know personally has inspired people, and the work you do is uplifting those people. So, Candace, what I want us to do is take a few minutes for you to share sort of some advice for people, but also letting us get to know a little bit more about you. Just some quick questions here. Mm-hmm. What is one book that you think every woman should read?
Oh, I love reading. One book. I know why the Caged Bird Sings by Maya Angelou.
How would that book change a woman's life?
It's funny. I read it in high school, and then I read it again as an adult, and I think it helps you to see that no matter what has happened in your life, that you realize that everything that's happened has happened to make you who you are. It's happened to make you your story unique. Because she just, and it also lets you know that it is painful sometimes living in what feels like a cage, but my goodness, when you fly out, it's this beautiful story that you have afterwards. So lots of inspiration for people who are on all different spectrums of this journey.
What's most sacred to you?
Peace of mind and simplicity is most sacred to me right now. Simplicity that
makes
peace of mind that comes with simplicity.
Mm-hmm. What makes you unique?
Ooh. I'm always redefining my cutting edge. I don't let people redefine it for me. I take in what people are saying and what thought leaders are saying, but I always redefine it for myself.
And what's something that you do every day?
I dance every day. I do it, even if it's for 5 minutes. I just move my body. It keeps me really connected to myself and reminds me that life is really fun and joyful and that I'm supported. So every day I do a dance, no matter how silly I look.
And what's one thing, as you look at where you are right now, look at the journey you've been on and how your work has evolved, what is one thing that you never thought?
Honestly, I never thought that I would be here on a public radio show talking about being myself and actually being vulnerable. I always thought it was something that was just going to stay in the journal, because I journal a lot through my, you know, through childhood and adolescence. I always thought it was just something that was going to stay in the notebook. And I never thought that it would actually be what draws people to me the most.
How do you feel about it?
You know, I feel, at first I was like, whoa, this is kind of weird. Now I feel really grateful and blessed that in me continuing to open up, it helps other people open up. Like, to me, that's an amazing, when people are like, Candace, you telling that story got me to start telling my story. I'm always in awe. Like, I'm just always in awe that just me sharing, just simply sharing, it empowers other people to share because they've been in my shoes. They felt the way I felt, and me freeing myself is helping free other people. It's always, like, boggled my mind, but it's such a blessing that my journey, me being on this journey, helps other people continue on this journey. It's a really amazing gift.
Candace Washington Cole, it has been such a pleasure interviewing you today, and I know that people listening have taken away something. They want to know how to connect with you. What's the next step? Tell us how to connect with you.
So I have my website. It is playinginthelight.org. On there, if you go to the contact me, there's like a million ways to contact me. I love email, I love snail mail, Twitter, Facebook. You'll find all that information. And if you just want to get a conversation started, just email me. I'm always open to that. And I'm always on Facebook asking questions and, you know, putting my thoughts out there. So I'm always on there too if you want to start a dialogue. But you can find me at playinginthelight.org.
Playinginthelight.org. As you continue to play, we definitely wish you well on your journey. Just know that you have both of us here in your corner. Bev is your Morpheus mama.
Yes.
And you is your, as your sister friend, your kindred spirit. Bev, any final words?
I am so pleased to get to know more of Candace. We've spent many sessions together, girlfriends, and, you know, talking around the kitchen table and around tea and coffee and so forth. But I really do appreciate your being open today, Candace. It adds a lot of depth and a lot of layers to the sparkly, dimply smile. And knowing that now when I hear that smile, there's so much, just the music part of it is just exciting. So you are an exciting, amazing, phenomenal woman, Candace.
Well, thank you. And thank you for giving me a space to be open. I appreciate that.
Much success to you, Candace.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed being here with y'all tonight.
Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in to another episode of the Make It Great Show. You can join us again next Sunday, where we will be talking again unedited, unscripted, and uncut. I'm Phenicia Hubbard. You can visit me online at phenicia.com. That's F as in fantastic, E-N-E-S-H-A. And I've got my two sister friends here. I'm going to let them tell you where to find them.
You can find Beverly Rogers at from Mama's House at AT&T.net and at FromMama'sHouse.net. And you can also just give me a call at 630-926-4481 and schedule a conversation, because I am a talking person. I do write, but unlike Candace, I am not a real writer.
Fantastic.
And I'm Candace, and you can find me again at playinginthelight.org.
All right, and until next time, continue to be unexpectedly great and make it great. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. We'll catch you next time.
She is understanding her core values. She is developing her sense of purpose. She is recreating her true self. She is enhancing the quality of her life. She is uplifting her.
dedicated to the empowerment of women. Women who are seeking to experience more purposeful lives. Uplifting Her provides practical solutions for women to experience total healing, including intimate small group sessions, one-on-one private consultations, and life-changing workshops. Uplifting Her also provides healing and empowerment retreats. So if you're a party of one, or maybe a unique one of a group, Uplifting Her is dedicated to uplifting, well, you. Uplifting Her looks forward to serving you. Visit us online at upliftinghher.com or send us an email inquiry at info@upliftingher.com. Uplifting Her. Get uplifted today.